Mr. Hill, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. There have been other models that relied on AI to look at existing symptoms. What made this study different?
In this study, we particularly focused on, we weren't just interested in symptoms because it's fairly easy to predict future symptoms based on past symptoms. What we did instead is we measured variables that are have been associated with declining mental health from past studies. So things like the child's social environment or the behavior. For example, their sleep quality, their family environment, school environment, how pro-social they are, all sorts of things like that. And so not only are we trying to accurately predict future mental health, but we would also like to be able to point to potential causes so that clinicians could better assign prevention strategies.
How serious right now is mental health among young people?
I'd say very serious. In fact, the U.S. is facing a bit of a youth mental health crisis. So just to throw out some kind of shocking stats, in my opinion, nearly half of teens will experience some form of mental illness, and that's only gotten worse since the pandemic. And then of those who are experiencing mental illness, nearly two-thirds of those aren't getting the support they need.
So there's a lack of mental health providers right now.
Yes. And that's just compounding on the problem. There's a shortage of mental health providers in general.
How does the AI model that you've used help in that regard?
So the big idea is that this model would be used as a pre-screener, perhaps in a primary care clinic, and so that we could figure out more efficiently who are the children that need the most care, and conversely, which children don't need care, because you don't want to spend time evaluating a child who is perfectly healthy. And so the big idea is that the model will help us allocate resources more efficiently by parsing out who needs support the most.
And you also used an alternative model that in many ways dug deeper, much deeper than what previous studies did. What did you do there?
Yeah, so that model was the version where we were looking at the social environment. So the two versions of the model. One is we did the more traditional approach where you use past symptoms. And as we expected, that model actually was more accurate. It performed better. But like I previously mentioned, what's kind of most useful to clinicians is the more preventative strategy recommender model, where you're trying to say, okay, what parts of this child's behavior environment can we modify to try and improve their future outcomes?
And so what do you hope to do with this study? And do you feel like it'll be adopted by, are you hoping to have it adopted by school systems across the country?
Yeah, that would actually be great. So our next steps right now is we're working on a grant to try and deploy this in clinical settings. And particularly, we're going to focus on rural North Carolina because there's especially critical shortage of mental health care providers in rural areas.
And hopefully, we've talked to actually someone this morning about how there's a need for more meals in various parts of urban areas. I imagine urban areas may also be a focus for this as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's I'm just a fact of life that the cities tend to draw doctors, and I guess they're drawing them away from rural areas. And so if we could make things more efficient, we could lessen the burden on the few doctors that are in rural areas.
Elliot Hill, the lead author of this fascinating study from Duke University that looked at artificial intelligence and how it was used to basically determine mental health problems within young people, something that certainly needs to be detected as early as possible. Mr. Hill, thank you so much for your time here today. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.